This episode originally aired in May earlier this year. It provides a three-bucket framework for organizing each aspect of our time. Enjoy. You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I'm here with my lovely co-host and friend, Mandy Wells. How you doing today, Mandy?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It is so great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast with all these wonderful listeners. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Sounds amazing. So just real quick, I have a question for you. So I know that you are your amazing wife, mom, real estate mogul. You got dogs. You got a family that you care for.
Yeah.
Just kind of how do you manage it all? That seems like a lot going on. How do you, manage it all?
I think, everybody manages things differently. But let me tell you, first and foremost, the reason I'm on this podcast, just like all your listeners out there, I'm here to get tips just like anybody else, because we can do things every single day and we think we're doing it absolutely right. But then we get with a coach like you or somebody that, has tried and true systems that really, really work. I feel like I'm always willing to learn, and I'm like a sponge. Of course, we do it every day. We do the normal things. We plan it out in our planner. We schedule, we block time. We're shuffling kids here and there. We're making sure home is good. But all the time, we're still wanting what? More time. It just feels like there's never enough hours in the day. And I feel like what you're going to speak about is just going to be able to help us just streamline that process. So I'm excited to get started. I'm excited to learn just like your audience.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome to hear. And you are certainly, just amazing at doing that, at remaining in a position of a learner, a lifelong learner, even, with the success that you've, gained. So I'm excited to get started as well. So let's jump right in. And so today I wanted to talk about three essential habits that will make your life more meaningful. And so the reason this came about is because, kind of going back to the first podcast, I talked about the study with, over 70% of people really not being happy or fulfilled with their career choices, their jobs, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I talked about on that, on that episode, how really, if you sleep for 8 hours and you work for 8 hours typically a day, you are unfulfilled for half of your waking hours.
Good point.
We got 24 hours in a day, so you're unfulfilled for half of that time. We only have one life to live.
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of time to be walking around and not, feeling like you matter or you're doing anything that matters. So this really is on my heart heavy. And the first thing that I want to share, and we talked about this was like the foundation I was talking about, where you start in the first episode, but there's an acronym it's called BMW, but you'll be able to follow it as we go through. But in that acronym, the first letter, B, stands for bedtime routine. And here's where really why I had that, as the first B. There was a study done by WebMD. It's the health and wellness you know, blogging group, mm-hmm. and they really talked about two things that people need in regards to sleep. Because one of the things that people I constantly hear as a productivity coach is people struggling to gain a really strong sleep routine.
Okay.
And I think the reason that is because, you know, whenever we're, you know, we're busy and, you know, with with the things that you're involved with,
mm-hmm.
The first thing you think to sacrifice is sleep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You only got 24 hours in a day. And the first thing you think to sacrifice is, okay, I got to sacrifice some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see all of the hours where this is going to get done. And that's where we start. But really, that's the worst place to start. It's kind of like we need to pay the sleep portion of our lives first and then build everything else around it. But we do the opposite. We usually build everything else and cut the sleep.
Mm, okay.
And so here's why that's dangerous. So first, number one, they said you have to train yourself to be sleepy. That's why the bedtime routine is so important. Because I was sharing this last week when I started, talked about doing this 100-day challenge for myself,
mm-hmm.
and going to bed at 9:45 p.m. every day and waking up at 3:45 a.m. And so with this challenge, so one thing I noticed is like the third day, it didn't take long. On that day, when I went to sleep at the right time, I woke up at like 3:43. No alarm, anything. My body just popped up.
Wow. But really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
The thing about that is if you, it doesn't take you long to train your body to a new kind of way of being. So once you make a commitment to that process and say, okay, here's what it's going to be, and you mm-hmm. stick to that, your body will make adjustments.
Wait, but so even, I'm sorry to interrupt, mm-hmm. even it's like 3 days? I mean, that just...
Yeah.
So you're saying that you start, okay, tell me this, what time were you going to bed before?
It's not like I was going to bed terribly later than
okay.
that. So, you know, maybe 10:30, I mean, close to 11 o'clock sometimes, but I mean, primarily hovering around that 10:30 time.
Okay.
But that third day, you know, I just popped.
Wow.
I just popped up at 3:43.
Okay.
And what that, and the example, what that shows is that I trained myself to be sleepy a certain time, and I trained myself to wake up a certain time. I mean, anybody who's a parent who's ever trained their, you know, child, I don't know what your what your setup was or what your struggles were in raising your daughter,
mm-hmm.
but you know, children respond to that very quickly. Like my son, yeah, his bedtime was 8 p.m. So you've had, you know, experience. We want to talk about your experience with that.
Yeah, I think for my daughter in the beginning, I was thinking, well, we're just going to let her do it naturally. You know, we want to do everything natural nowadays, right? So what I realized for her, though, that structure that she didn't have, it would throw her off. So she'd be up in the middle of the night having, you know, a wonderful time, and we're so tired. And, you know,
right.
of course, we want to be up with her. And then once we started, and that happened fairly quickly, but she was one of the, you know, I was very fortunate in the fact that as soon as I instilled the principles, okay, we're going to go to bed at this time, she naturally just did that. I mean, like the only time she would cry, she was really a good baby. The only time she'd even cry or anything is when she was hungry or wet. So for her, structure was easy to put in place, but we didn't wait too long. You know, because you hear so many reports as a mom, you read all these things and everything says, you know, do a different way. And what I realized is all kids need structure, you know?
Right.
So So, but I feel like even teaching her that, we were able to get more sleep as parents. You know, we weren't up and down throughout the night, things like that. But when you said it only took you 3 days to get back, I'm fascinated by the fact that you were able to wake up without the alarm. Did you ever wake up without an alarm before, or did you always have the alarm even though you were going to bed maybe an hour to an hour and a half later?
I had the alarm.
Okay.
I've had the alarm. And when I say I was able to wake up without the alarm,
mm-hmm.
that was a day that mm-hmm. happened. And then I still used it. I still used the alarm.
Yeah.
Because on the weekends also, I adjust my sleep schedule a little bit to be, you know, it's a bummer for your family on a Friday night, especially my wife. If I'm like, babe, got to be in bed by 9:45.
Yeah.
So, you know, I use the Friday and Saturday to go to sleep a little bit earlier. I've been blessed that my wife isn't a night owl. So
okay.
I'm typically able to go to bed at a decent time, regardless of whether it's the weekend or not.
But, okay.
You know, so with that, you know, there comes a retraining, you know, process mm-hmm. that happens during the week. And so I'm not saying that as a, I'm not, I wasn't mentioning it as a way to say that this is what will happen after your third day of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What I was saying it to say is that your body just starts to reply to the training you give it.
Yeah.
So it's an example of how our physiology responds to that. So, yeah, so you have to train yourself to be sleepy. I remember my son, we put him down 8 o'clock, and then he was waking up around 6:30, 7 o'clock, and you know, that was pretty consistent.
That's good sleep.
And we had that schedule. Yeah, oh yeah. He had some great sleep, and we were loving it. We were happy about it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because at this daycare, so actually, let me go to the next point, and then I'll share about the daycare.
Okay.
So the second part is to recognize the pain of your lack of sleep or bad quality sleep causes.
Mm-hmm.
So really, so according to this same source that I was speaking of earlier, the WebMD, sleep deprivation has been used as a form of torture throughout history.
Yes.
And in Japanese war camps, sleep deprivation was one of the first strategies used as a technique to force prisoners to reveal information.
Got it.
And go ahead.
No, we've definitely all heard that, like in, you know, in our history classes and stuff like that. But you don't think about that when you're thinking about
right.
sleep deprivation. You don't go back there.
Right, when you're automatically taking it away from mm-hmm. yourself,
right?
You know, you don't recognize, like, this is what they use to torture people.
Exactly.
And now I'm doing this to myself.
Exactly.
Wow, that's, you know,
self-imposed.
Unforced.
Yeah, right. Self-imposed that's the, torture.
That's the real definition of unforced errors, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, so it's crazy because going back to kids, I don't, you know. Just on children now, but there was a kid who went to the daycare that my son went to,
mm-hmm.
and I could tell, like, he wasn't on a sleep schedule. Like, he probably stayed up all night. I overheard his mom one time say he was up till like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But he came into the daycare, and this kid looked miserable. Like, the first thing he did was go lay down on the couch and
Aww.
Go to sleep for in the morning. And what's interesting is he might have been, you know, begging to stay up or still watch videos or do whatever. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just based on pressure the parent is feeling or whatever they're doing, they probably allowed the kid to stay up.
Mm-hmm.
But what the parent didn't realize is by them not, you know, disciplining them in a way where they were, you know, going to bed at a certain time, or they were going to bed at that time too, they were torturing the kid. And he, you know, he showed up and looked just like that, like he was being tortured.
Wow.
And that is the first, this is the first tactic in war, in this war principle. Mm. But some other strategies they use, kind of, I thought this was interesting to mention. This is separate from kind of what we're talking about, but these other things that they did was solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound like to you, solitary confinement, when it comes to disciplining children?
Time out
all day. Time mm-hmm. out. Solitary confinement. Yeah. Blindfolding. I was thinking of just having them. You're in a timeout and you're in a dark room.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
you know what I mean? And then, you know, meal restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat what you what you want, what you like. You don't get to pick the meal. You got to eat what is cooked. And I don't know if parents do this, and you could tell me if this is done, because your child is a lot older, but maybe cooking something that you know that that's not their favorite meal.
Right.
You and your spouse is cool with. Did you ever?
No.
Have you ever done something like that?
No. And it's funny.
That's
because,
messed up.
Yeah, my parents, they weren't doing it as a punishment. I just remember for myself, I remember my parents giving us liver and onions. Oh, even to this day, so many years later, I still remember that. And my mom was like, you're not getting up from this table until you eat this, you know.
Right.
You know, we work too hard for our money, you know, all those things that the parents say, right?
Yeah.
And I was determined. I just couldn't eat it. I tasted it and I was like, oh, I can't. So I sat there. She let me sit there all night. And then when she got tired of me sitting there, I guess she wanted to go to bed. She put it in the refrigerator. Breakfast that morning, it was the same thing.
Gotcha.
I was
gotcha.
Like, no. I still never ate it. I mean, of course, after that, she threw it away. But, you know, it's that one of those things like, well, you're going to go to bed hungry if you can't eat what everybody else is eating. You know, everyone else didn't like it, but they just, you know, barreled through. But you said something about, you know, having no food or food restrictions. What about when we stay up late at night for us? I know most of the time if I'm staying up late, I'm eating all kinds of junk food and stuff that's actually bad for my body. So even though you're not getting food, you're still putting a lot of bad stuff most of the time, because I don't think we're going and getting an apple or a banana or, you know, something, you know, some carrot sticks, you know, at 12, 1 o'clock at night when we're trying to stay up to get something done.
Right. Absolutely. And a lot of times that's an important point you mentioned, because a lot of times some of us are even putting caffeine in our system at those times.
Absolutely.
And that's unbelievable, because caffeine stays in your system really like up to 8 hours.
Mm.
And now you're going to sleep right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And because the caffeine is still in your system, you're not able to sleep well, because your body is still awake, you know?
Yeah.
That's still, because I know, I don't drink a lot of caffeine,
mm-hmm.
but when I do, I learned this from the listening to the Model Health Show with Sean Stevenson. He talks about, you know, definitely getting your final dose of caffeine for the day in before at least 8 hours before you're going to go to sleep. So if you're going to sleep around 10, having that time be 2 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
that you get your last dose of caffeine. So no coffee after dinner as a snack,
you know?
Cause you're killing your sleep quality,
mm-hmm.
from that standpoint. So yeah. And then the other thing they had, on those list of punishments were just, having people assume, uncomfortable or painful positions. So I know some people do have their kids do the wall sits like they do in karate.
Mm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
sit on there till you get tired and sore or whatever.
Right.
But those were a few. But we hear those other things and we're like, oh, those are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep, lack of sleep was number one. And so that's where, you know, that's where we need to really identify with that and realize that, man, I'm torturing myself by taking this away from me.
Well, I'm glad you tied all those other points in as well. I mean, you listed a lot of different things, and then you also showed us how we're hurting our bodies, you know, in every way by not getting sleep. You know, I think that's a great thing for us to take about, that we're intentionally torturing ourselves. And I really and truly don't think we think of it like that.
No, we definitely don't. We think I'm going to, by taking away these four, if I usually get eight, by taking away these four, I'm adding 4 hours of productivity. But what happens when we don't sleep a lot is that next day we're like the least productive we've ever been.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just because you just feel drained and you feel tired and you can't really do much. So I'll go on to point number two. And it's the M and the BMW.
Yay.
The BMW acronym. But the M is for morning routine. And so let me back up a second.
Okay.
So in the episodes to come, I'm going to dig into, because I just mentioned the bedtime routine, and I'm just kind of mentioning these. But the episodes to come, we'll dig into them each. They'll have their own episode to really go in depth with. So then people could start to really design some really strong routines for their life. So the morning routine is number two. And, you know, a lack of a morning routine really distracts you from your purpose and makes you a slave to others. So I just think about this. When I didn't have a consistent morning routine, how I woke up was I only got out of bed because I was responsible to be to work at a certain time. And I would oftentimes stay in bed till the last minute. I never planned to, because in the back of my mind, I knew it was wrong to get up at the last minute. But I just did, you know, and, you know, once I did that, you know, the first thing that I'm stepping into in the day is somebody else's email to me about having me do something, or someone else's phone call about, hey, can you do this? And I worked in housing for years at various colleges, and you know, there was always something that went on the night before that, you know, everyone wanted to make you aware of as soon as you got in the office the next day. And so that one thing, you know, you would be notified about that one thing, and then there'll be another thing. And then by the end of the day, you realize, wow, I didn't accomplish any of the things that I wanted to do today, because when I first started and throughout the day, I picked up with other people's agenda.
Okay.
So now, since I don't have that morning routine, my whole day is being a slave to others' agenda.
Okay. So that's more like allocating your time. So if you don't allocate your time appropriately, somebody else will allocate it for you.
Right. Yeah. Right. They certainly will, and they won't make any apologies about
it. Yeah. Because their emergency, you know, their lack of planning is an emergency on your part, you know, and you're thinking,
absolutely,
wait a second, you didn't plan properly. So now it's an emergency and now it's my problem. Yeah.
Right. And the most prepared person lives on their terms.
Like absolutely.
In a battle, if you want to set it up that way, if you got one person who's never really prepared and they just kind of fly on a whim, reactionary. Compared to a person who's always prepared with an agenda, know exactly, you know, what they're going after. That person always wins in terms of who agenda, you know, steps to the forefront, because the other person just doesn't have time to think about what they want, because whether they're the boss or not, even if they are the supervisor or whatever the case may be, but they're not, you know, really prepared ahead like that, they'll end up being a slave to their to their subordinates. So
yeah,
definitely it's a crucial thing. It's a thing that changed my life as soon as I started implementing it. And I'll never go back to not having a morning routine like that. That is terrible.
You're getting me excited already for the next episodes. I'm like, okay, I need to know about the bedtime. Okay, I need to write me a plan for that. I need me a morning routine. Like, I love this. I mean, because it gives you something to do. Because if you wake up every day and things are, you know, out of order, or you just don't have that time in the morning, I do feel like the rest of your day is just as chaotic. You know, from the time you wake up to the time you get in the car, and then there's traffic, and I mean, just everything. And I feel like making time, the one thing I found about the morning that makes my morning go really, really smooth is even if it's 5 minutes, if you could just have 5 minutes to yourself, for yourself, to just think about, okay, what do I want to accomplish for my day? You know, what do I, when I come home today, how will I feel like I'm going to be a success? That has always helped me, because like you said, as soon as you walk out the door, get to work, somebody else is already, I mean, pulling at you for something, you know. I do real estate and credit. So the minute I come in, somebody has something that's happened, something, you know, we're supposed to close on today, and this, but it becomes a big mess. But if I take those 5 minutes, I remember what that is that I feel like I'm purposed to be here for, and what I feel like I need to accomplish today, so that I feel like I have had a productive day. No matter what anybody else thinks, they could think, oh, you did 50 things today and you're so productive. But if I feel like the things that I want to accomplish is going to take me long term, I feel like if I can get those things done, I feel like I've had the best day possible. I've owned my day.
Right. Absolutely. And being busy doesn't equal being productive. So, you know what I mean? So you could do 50 things, but I might rather you do the three most important things that are going to really have the biggest impact on the other 50 things. And honestly, one of those three may, if you do that, may eliminate you having to do the 50. And so, you know, it's just really, it's really important because, you know, I just hate that feeling of feeling like a slave, just running around and trying to, you know, appease everyone else. And that's what happens when you don't, you know, when you don't have a morning routine. And there's something I wanted to share about that. So another reason why it's so important to have a morning routine is because our mind naturally goes to what's negative, like what's not going right, you know, what we feel bad about, who's getting on our nerves at work, our lives, how we're not where we wanted to be, and how, you know, these are just, it's like a thousand, I said this before, but it's like a thousand positive things can happen, and our minds automatically go to the one negative. It's just natural.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes you overcome that mindset and live with a heart of gratefulness and joyfulness is being able to have something in your morning routine that interrupts that natural pattern of going negative. You know, so if you're listening to, you know, some inspirational, you know, stuff, if you're listening to some music that puts you in the right mood, you're doing the type of reading, the type of meditating that just gets you in the right space for you to know, okay, this is fantastic what I have an opportunity to do today. It's not that I have to do these things today, it's that I get to do these things today. There's no way you can live life in that space without having a ritual before things get started to put your mind there.
Yeah. Well, I love that point that you make about the negative chatter, I guess, that goes on in our brain, in our mind.
Right.
That negative chatter, what I feel like that is, it's a tape recorder. And that tape recorder is always playing. And the problem is it always plays the negative, you know, and I don't think we, you know, we think about it. And whether, you know, I'm religious, so I'll just come from that standpoint. I feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, that's not God. That tape recorder is not God, because he's telling you you're fearfully and wonderfully made. His tape recorder would just be telling you, you know, you're the apple of his eye. You're so wonderful. Like, you're made in his image. So everything he's going to be saying to you is just positive and uplifting. I feel like when that tape recorder just keeps playing and playing those negative thoughts, I truly know that's not from God. And I think when we change that tape recorder to see ourselves as God sees us, see ourselves in the best light. And if you know, if you're not a believer, you can believe that you can see yourself in the best light. And so whatever that looks like to you, I feel like that's the new tape recorder you need to start playing. That's the new tape, because there is going to be a tape going on in your head no matter what. And you've got to make that decision and change your mindset to change your thoughts. And that, and changing your thoughts is changing that chatter that goes on in your head. And I feel like sometimes you literally have to say it out loud. You have to say enough and then say something positive right after. And even if you have to keep repeating it, just so that you get yourself in a different frame of mind, you know? You know, I see that a lot. You know, people, they'll be having a bad day and you'll ask them, what are you thinking about? And they start telling you all these problems, or they tell you everything that's negative. And then say, you know, ask them, what is something grateful? What are you grateful for? In spite of everything else that's going on, what are you grateful for? And then, you know, you just ask them, say, why don't we think about that? Let's talk about that. And then just play that over and over in our heads. And I think that's another thing that we need to stop doing. Because if you wake up and you're tired, the first thing you say to yourself is, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sleepy. I want to go back to bed. And we keep playing that over and over. So how are you ever going to have any energy or any liveliness if you, you know, you're going to be tired all day because you keep saying it. Your body responds to exactly what you say, whether it's positive or negative. Your body doesn't know the difference.
That's good. That's some great points. And I actually remember there was one time where I had these. So I was doing this practice where whenever I thought of a complaint, I would immediately force myself to think of the other side of that complaint.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down.
So because the beauty of gratefulness is actually found in the complaint. So, the beauty of gratefulness is found in the complaint. So, I remember I was sitting at the stoplight. And this was like a New Year's Eve, or it was like it was after 12 o'clock because we had gone to church and, you know, we had celebrated the New Year together, my family. And it was, I had just started driving and my sister was in the car with me. And I remember when I was on my way home, we were stopping at every red light possible. I mean, it was unbelievable. I had never... It had to be something divine, because it was literally every single red light. And I'm like, there's no way we're stopping at every single red light.
Oh, but that's funny.
Yeah, we were. And I remember I started to get frustrated because it's late, you're tired. I think we just ate or we were about to eat. I can't remember what it was, but my feelings were tied to I'm tired and I'm ready to go home.
Right.
We're stopping at every light, right? And so immediately I thought about that. And before I could say anything about we're stopping at another light again, complain about that, immediately what I started to say out of my mouth was, wow, I'm so grateful that I have my whole family to celebrate the new year with.
Wow.
Here with my sister. I'm grateful that we're almost home. We're like a block away and we haven't had an accident. You know, there's so many accidents and things that happen on this particular day of the year. And, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. We're going into the new year. I'm about to graduate from college.
Wow.
You know, there were just so many things that just started to spiral through my head. Like I was saying, there for every negative thing you think about, there's 1,000 positive, you know, thoughts that you can be having instead. And it was actually complaining about the stoplight that inspired the other things that I thought of. And that's why I say the beauty of gratefulness is in the complaint.
Yeah.
Because if you flip that complaint around, even for something as terrible as somebody having like a really terrible car accident,
mm-hmm.
and they're injured, you know, and it changes life for them. Well, the thing that happens on the other side of that immediately is they're alive.
Absolutely.
You know, they have an ability to come back. They now have a greater appreciation for life, being that they now have an experience that it can turn on them in 0.5 seconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just have a totally different perspective. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of people in the, you know, personal development field have testimonies that are similar to that where, man, I was in a car accident. You know, I know Hal Elrod, in particular, the author of The Miracle Morning, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of what started things off for him. He was in a terrible accident and, you know, that kind of put his life in a different, you know, in a different place. And now he has inspired the world to really change their lives because of what he experienced. So if he had lived in a place of complaining with that complaint, he would have missed his opportunity. The gift that was found in that experience. So
yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's really
good.
So
that's really why the morning time, having a, you know, set routine that you go through is so important. You don't get to that beauty. You don't mm-hmm. get to the gifts in life
yeah.
without that time that interrupts those that negative chatter.
Can I ask one? Let me say something really quick. You said the thing about morning when we wake up, right? And that, you know, basically that's a gift. And this is kind of maybe a little sidebar, but
okay.
I feel like a lot of times, and I don't know why this just came on my heart, but I feel like there's so much in, this is a little hard, but there's so much suicide out there, or people thinking about suicide. And when you said waking up in the morning and, you know, how like that's a gift, I really feel like if somebody is, you know, that's listening to this, if that's something that you're struggling with, like you don't want to be here, things like that, you know, what do you have to be grateful for? Because, you know, we have no idea what's gone on in someone's life. I always feel like you can change your perspective always by helping someone else. And I really feel like if you're at that point or something in your life is you're feeling just at a really, really low place, they always have opportunities where you can go into any hospital and volunteer. And I think you need to go into like the cancer ward or where, you know, kids, they would give anything to have that breath, to have that health, to have everything that you have. And if you could just, you know, just talk to someone else about what they're going through, not even sharing what you're going through, but to see what someone with like maybe a chronic illness or, you know, go in the baby ward and see babies fighting just to have the chance, however old you are, you know, that baby would give anything to be that age that you are right now. And I don't know why when you said something about life, you know, that morning routine, when we do wake up, it is a gift, you know,
yeah.
It really and truly is. We don't, you know, it's, I don't know. I just feel like something you said just sparked that in me to say that.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And actually I had at my church,
mm-hmm.
We're in a series right now called Homeless Church.
Okay.
And so you talked about going inside of a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would add to what you said is go outside.
Okay.
And you know, in a, you know, poverty stricken location,
mm-hmm.
and just see all the people that don't have anywhere to go inside at
yeah.
the end of the day.
Okay.
You know,
that's true. They have no
really,
shelter. Yeah. Okay.
No shelter.
No food.
Place. Yeah. You're complaining that this person in your house is getting on your nerves
mm-hmm.
and it's really bothering you and you'd rather be any place else on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I wanted, the key word in that sentence is house.
Yeah, absolutely.
And bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all that that comes with. Yeah. Warmth,
right,
electricity,
right.
You know, like,
exactly.
You know, wow. If it's
Wi-Fi.
Cold, hot. Yeah. Wi-Fi. Exactly.
You're going on a rant on Twitter and you're complaining about how your life is so terrible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're taking advantage of the Wi-Fi
that yeah.
you have to do that complaining. But yeah. I digress.
Yeah. Okay, so we're now on W now. Okay, because
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So,
sorry, we got off there really quick.
No, okay. it's. I'm sure it was meant for somebody to hear what we were talking about just
yeah.
now. So definitely, you know. All right, so. W, that is for, I call it your workflow routine.
Okay, workflow.
Workflow routine. First, I called it work day, but mm-hmm. then I switched it to workflow.
Yeah.
Just like how that sounded better.
Yeah, and I can
but
see.
But that
yeah.
completes the BMW. So workflow, develop a workflow plan really to set yourself up for success. So, and all these things build on each other. So you're going to see it. So without the bedtime routine, mm-hmm. your morning routine is going to be off because you're going to be all over the place in terms of how rested you feel the next morning. If you're not vigilant about when you go to bed, it's going to be controlled by the latest sporting event
mm-hmm.
or music awards or whatever, and all these things always happen where you have to stay up till
yes.
1-2 o'clock in the morning just to finish watching it.
Right.
But I don't know why they do that. But anyways, otherwise that's what's gonna happen. You're more without having a bedtime routine that you commit yourself to. All of those events are gonna really control the amount of sleep you get and
mm-hmm.
then the time you wake up, and then. And then your morning routine is going to really put you in a place of purpose, you know, for the day. So you feel charged up for the day. Because like,
yeah.
like you said, like whatever you're telling yourself, your body responds to
mm-hmm.
it. So if you're grateful for the day and what you have in front of you, like your body is going to respond to that. That's going to energize you and make you more productive than ever before when you can have that gratitude attitude.
Mm-hmm.
During the day. But here's the thing. Don't just go with the flow of what the script that's laid out for you and how others do it, because you have strengths that are specific to you. You have natural tendencies that will you know, put you in the best place for success, you know, versus someone else. So if you know that, for instance, 8 to 11 a.m. is your peak time that you really think creatively,
mm-hmm.
well, then you should probably plan some of your brainstorming, some of your more creative work, you know, during that time span. When it comes to, you know, maybe stuff that, I don't know, that's more mundane, more, you know, It requires less mental energy from you.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to put that in the afternoon,
right,
where, you know, you can just kind of be on autopilot with some things versus doing the mundane stuff in the morning. And then now in the afternoon, you're so tired, you don't even want to think creatively, even though
yeah.
you have the time to. And so I'll go into detail and how to really, you know, how you can design that. In the episode, once we tackle the workflow routine, but but for now, you know, these are the three things that you need. So you want to definitely think about, you know, what are your strengths, just like in general, because maybe you're not even at the right job right now. To be honest,
that's really
good.
Maybe
when you start there, I'll put a link in the show notes. There was a assessment that changed my life. It's called the Myers-Briggs assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna tell you what my reaction was. And there's all different types of assessments out there that you can use. You know, we know, as being a part of Breathe University, we know about, you know, the animal assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hounding you to take that.
Yes, you have.
So, So now it's on wax for the world to
exactly
to hear. So now it has to get done.
Okay.
But
I love a challenge, though. Okay.
Right. But anyway, so there's a bunch of different assessments out there, but this particular one, Myers-Briggs assessment, put a link to it in the show notes. It made me realize, like, people always said to me, like, in my life, especially at home or whether I was in school, like, you think differently. Mm. Like, what you're saying doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, this definitely makes sense. In my head, this makes
perfect sense.
And yeah. We all probably feel like that in some sense. But I felt that way a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I just always felt like, man, I feel like when I say things, you know, people, and I was never a disrespectful person, but I felt like when I said things at times, you know, maybe some adult figures at the time, some adult figures could feel like I was, I don't know how to say it. I was being defiant, you know, in terms of questions I would ask. But it wasn't like, it wasn't that I was asking questions to be defiant. It's how I was thinking. Like, it was how my brain, my brain functions in a way where I don't just accept whatever, you know, whatever someone says. I kind of look for the reasoning. But anyways, here's the point that I'm making. When I took this assessment, I realized that there's only a 10% slice of people who think the way I do, legitimately.
Oh, wow. Okay.
By data. Mm-hmm. So based on this assessment, so because there's like four quadrants overall that people, you know, fit into. There's like 16 different personality types, but if you're one of four types, you fall in, you know, one of these quadrants. Mm-hmm. So, but in this particular quadrant that I'm in, the rationalists, it's 10% of people in the world. Mm-hmm. So what that means is when I'm in school as a kid, that means that three people in the class thought like me, if there's 30 kids in the class.
Okay.
So it makes sense mm-hmm. that majority of the room is looking at me sideways when I say whatever I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or if my family, you know, it's more likely they fall into these other categories based on the percentages. And so, you know, it makes sense that they weren't understanding what I was saying either.
Right.
You know, so I'm just saying that you can relieve some parts of frustration that you may be experiencing right now in the place that you're in or your career path or just kind of, you know, thoughts that you're having based on, you know, whatever your natural strengths are.
Yeah.
And your natural areas for improvement. Like so one thing for me is I'm not administrative work.
Okay.
Like, it's like nails on a chalkboard for mm-hmm. me. And it's not, I mean, that's not completely true. I'm able to, you know, do some administrative tasks I've needed to based on I actually probably come up in that area just because of the work I have been doing for, you know, several years.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'd rather be thinking creatively. I'd rather be doing what we're doing right now, talking about these concepts,
right.
Putting things together, thinking outside the box. Like, that's what I'd rather do. So if I'm working in a job that, you know, is about stacking boxes in a certain area or whatever the case may be, like, that's probably not the best source of getting the most energy out of it.
Right.
Because I'm not, you know, I'm not using that creative, you know, part of myself. So you just need to get to know yourself
mm-hmm.
and try to figure out, okay, what is it that, you know, you need to do or position you need to put yourself in to be successful. And that's the W. So again, we spoke about this last week, and so I always want to leave you with the boss move of the week.
But I got some questions.
Okay. Go ahead.
I feel like that's why when you said the thing about your, you know, in that 10% group, I feel like that's why you're the productivity boss. Because what you're going to do is help, you know, people like myself and your listeners, the audience out there, you're going to help us make moves so that we are productive. Because for you, this kind of stuff comes natural. For most people to get to the next level, this doesn't come natural. Or they have all the ingredients, but they just don't know how to put it all together. You know what I'm saying? You can be the most talented person, but that doesn't mean you're going to be in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have all the stuff to put it together to make it work. So with this, I think a lot of people can be so much more successful if they can listen to someone like you who this comes natural to. And it's not natural because, oh, I can just do this. I mean, you've practiced it. There's, you know, you've actually done it. It's not just theory, you know. And I think a lot of times people come out and they quote all this stuff and they tell you all this stuff. But you really want to know, have you done it? Has it been successful? And how many people have you done it for that you've made them successful doing it? I mean, because you can tell me anything. But when, I mean, I can see the people that, you know, you're coaching and things like that. And you're just like, wow. I mean, very quickly, boom, things like that change for them. So, I mean, that's why I'm here. I'm like your audience. I want notes. I mean, I'm like, yeah, because I think all of us can learn, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm glad you mentioned that, because how I even became a productivity coach, the story is interesting. Like, literally, we're on an accountability call together.
Right.
And with Embreve University, and with that, on that call, I just developed different accountability partners.
Mm-hmm.
We were holding each other accountable, keeping each other updated on our goals and whether we were accomplishing our goals. And there was one partner that I had, I think they ended up only being on the call like one time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we stayed in contact. We kept, you know, updating each other on our goals. And this person, I think after a couple of months, this was during the 100-day challenge.
Okay.
After a couple of months, they ended up contacting me and asking me, was I a coach?
Mm.
And I said, well, now that you're asking me that,
mm-hmm.
I am, you know. And so I wanted, you know, I had a conversation with him to figure out, okay, what are you trying to be coached on? Because I want to make sure it's something I can help you with.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just talking about executing. Like the rate, they expressed that the rate in which you execute, I desire that.
Wow,
so
yeah.
Can you show me that? So this was not... This was not some grand idea that I thought about in my room, like, productivity coach, that sounds great.
Right.
Like, this work actually chose me
mm-hmm.
because, you know, once I ended up starting to do work with that person, it just led to so many others who requested that same service from me. And it grew, you know, it grew from there. So, you know, what I'm telling you is stuff I implemented, it's stuff I, you know, and I study the subject
mm-hmm.
To stay current and stay relevant, you know, in the industry. However, the core of what I'm communicating comes from this experience that I had that I would love for you to have and other listeners, and to be able to find systems. You know, I think one of the things that's helpful is when people can find their own way
mm-hmm.
through a system that is shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you may not be able to find your own way from a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone can draw a line for you, you might be able to figure out, well, I can't really flow with that line, but I can flow on this side right next to that line.
Right, you know? Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but without that line being there to start, you have nothing to measure, you know, yourself by or measure kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, that's the thing, because it's not like, you know, we're not cloning people
right,
trying to
exactly.
get everybody to do the same stuff.
Yeah, we're not wired like that.
Yeah, I made a point in the last, you know, podcast how, you know, if I'm eating healthy, if I'm only eating chicken and salad every day, then that's gonna gonna turn me off to eating healthy. There's a whole variety out there, but that's what's gonna be great about this. You know, there's gonna be things I'll, you know, share with the listeners, but then there's also things that you guys will be able to teach me as well as we communicate and grow this community. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm excited. Before, I know we have to close, so just give me 30 more seconds. Okay. Anybody out there who's listening, me and Robert are on this accountability call. And mind you, we're on two different time zones. I'm Central Standard. He's Eastern Standard. So I'm up at 5 a.m. for this call, and it's an hour call.
But and what's your location? Can you tell the people your location?
Yes, we're in Houston, Texas.
H-Town,
yay!
Home of Beyonce and them.
Yeah, and all of them, yes. And those Texans and Astros and all the, you know, Dynamos, all of us, yes. but one of the things I want to tell your audience is there are lots of people on there. So me and you have not been in the group where we've actually been accountability partners, right? So one day we were talking, and this is for your audience, and I don't want you to, what did you call it? Putting it on the wall. What did you just say?
Putting it on wax.
Wax. Okay. So you can't put this on wax. Okay. But I'm going to tell you guys the story. What he did is I was talking to him about something and just made a point about something I wanted to do. And, you know, sometimes you're just talking to people and it wasn't a conversation. I didn't want any advice or anything like that. It was just a simple conversation. And he took one thing that I said and put together this whole program and sent it to me in email. He's like, well, I thought about what you said, and I'm thinking, wait. I just said something. I don't want to actually do anything, you know. I'm like, I don't need another thing on my plate. So what I'm telling you guys is if you call Robert for your productivity coach, please don't call. I didn't even think I didn't want anything. We were just talking. So don't call to just talk if you don't want him to actually change your life. So, or if you do, say it up front. Say, hey, I would just like you to listen. Because the way his mind works, he's going to put it all together. And I don't know how, I mean, he can find those little gaps in between, I guess, that you're not even thinking about. And he goes back, you think the conversation's over, and he comes back with a whole spreadsheet and a whole outline of how you can do this and make it successful. So all I'm telling you, audience members, is if you call in and you're ready to be productive and you're ready to make a change and you really are ready to make that move and level up, when you call Robert, just make sure you're ready. That's all I can say, because his mind, the way it works, you'll be like, well, I was just calling. He's like, oh, no, I can tell you this. So just be ready for this. So I'm glad he asked me to, you know, co-host, you know, these next couple shows with them. I'm truly, truly excited because I really feel like a student. I feel like I'm going to get just as much out of it as you guys are. So I can't wait. I'm ready.
Man, this is why I asked Mandy to co-host. She's so, you know, makes everyone feel like they can, you know, take over the world and just share such great words of encouragement and support. So I definitely appreciate that. And I didn't ask her to say that. I was a little uncomfortable just now.
Sorry.
I was like, oh no, they're going to think I'm, you know, but no, that's genuine. So, so I'm grateful. We had an opportunity to connect and go further because we definitely have a lot of work to do together. So definitely thank you for sharing that. So now I just want to move on to the boss move of the week. I always want you to walk away and become at least 1% better every single week. And so there's always going to be, you know, a call to action. I got to move you. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't just like Mandy said, we have to move from one place to the other. And we can't, you know, we're not just talking just to talk and we're not just listening just to listen. There is an action that we must take in order to, you know, improve. So here's the boss move of the week. It is to set a consistent bedtime and decide to go to bed with a plan so you can wake up with a purpose.
Can you say that one more time? Because I'm writing
yeah.
it. Okay, thanks.
I'm going to say it for you again.
Okay.
So you're going to set a consistent bedtime
mm-hmm.
and decide to go to bed with a plan so you can wake up with a purpose. So, you know, we were talking about the BMW, bedtime routine, morning routine, workflow routine. And the beginning of that is the bedtime routine, which we will go into next week. I'm going to give you a breakdown, you know, analysis of my personal bedtime routine and, you know, just different areas of articles and things I came across that could help you establish a bedtime routine for yourself. But before we even get into all of that, I just need you to commit to something simple. Going to bed at a particular time, whether that's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever works for you, but establish a time and you will even begin to feel the difference in the impact of your life just by doing that one, you know, that one adjustment. I told you in the last episode, everything changed for me when I had that one goal for the entire year of to wake up at 5:30 a.m.
Hmm.
And, you know, things changed for me when I was able to do that. And not only do that, I was able to go beyond to much earlier times and just be able to really develop a high level of consistency through that practice. So definitely commit to that this week. Promise me you're going to do that. But I just want to say thank you again to Mandy for being such a great co-host.
Thank you for having me.
And we covered a lot of ground. And you always make sure that we do.
I'm excited. I'm going to come next week with a notebook. Like I had one sheet of paper, you know, that I'm writing on. I was like, okay, I need a notebook. Okay. Because if you're going to have this whole plan set up, I mean, I have my bedtime. That was an easy one. Just come up with the time, but actually a plan. I was like, okay. So, I'm gonna come with a notebook next week because I want to hear what your plan is. And then I want to kind of, I mean, I know our plans won't be the same, but it at least give me a structured outline of kind of what I need to do. So I'm excited. Definitely.
Gotcha. That's awesome. All right. So if you like what you're listening to today, please subscribe and share this podcast with others. Write a review. Those are a few different ways you can start to spread the movement to really get people to a more productive place. It's not enough to dream. You have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Have a productive week. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.